What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting, the podcast all about the average flawed dad learning to be a better parent. Today, we're fortunate to have Mark Hopkins on the podcast from WeGetOutdoors.co. Mark's going to be talking to us about the effect of the outdoors on children, on parenting, and the four fears that he has for children today that don't get to spend enough time outside. I was really engaged in this conversation. I know Graham was as well. We really enjoyed getting to chat with Mark and talk about some of the beliefs around how the outdoors have a positive impact on our kids and how we need to spend more time getting them out. You can check out Mark and his business partner Rob at WeGetOutdoors.co. They have WGO TV. They also have a podcast. They do a whole lot of stuff. They've just created a package of 11 fun activities to be able to do with your kids in your local neighborhood outdoors. Basically, they provide all kinds of things that you can do in order to get your kids outdoors and get them benefits of what the outdoors brings. Make sure you go and check out their podcast as well as their website. And while we're talking about that, please make sure that you're hitting the subscribe button on this podcast. We noticed over the last week that we have about twice as many unique listeners as we do subscribers, and we'd love it if all of you unique listeners became subscribers at the same time. So make sure you take a second, go and follow or hit subscribe button for this podcast, and make sure to stick around and listen as a couple flawed dads figure out how not to screw up our kids too bad.
Hey Mark, how are you doing?
I'm flying. I'm a bit distracted, to be honest, by the background I'm looking at, but I'm sure I can.
Yeah, for the listeners out there, Warren has an impressive array of alcoholic beverages that we use for our international interviews, etc. So, yes, it is distracting, I understand.
It makes interviewing a lot easier after you've tipped a couple of these back. For those of you that follow us on Instagram, you've actually seen our recording studio, I use air quotes here, which is basically my bar. So it's a nice spot too. Well, we would pour you a drink, Mark, but it's a bit of a distance drink. You're all the way over in the UK and we're here in Vancouver. So, we know that this is a little later in the day for you. We appreciate you joining us. So, a couple softball questions to begin with. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your family.
My name's Mark Hopkins and I am a very, very proud father of my 11-year-old boy, Seth. Unfortunately, I am not with his mum anymore. So I've got the joys of having my child for a full week to myself. And then you sort of cope with the week apart. So it's the upside down part of parenting, but it makes that time you have even more special. So very, very grateful, very happy. And my hobby, I've managed to turn into an income stream, which I think is everyone's goal, which is the outdoors, spending as much time in the outdoors and bringing my son into the outdoors and learning everything there is around the outdoors. So travel a lot, spend a lot of time in South Africa. So we get to surf, we get to look at the sharks, we get to look at doing some crazy stuff. A couple of weeks ago, I was sleeping in a big five game reserve with lions, leopards, cheetahs, elephants, rhinos within about 100 meters away from me. So get to do some very cool stuff in the outdoors.
I bet. That sounds awesome.
It sounds amazing. Now, sorry, you're in South Africa right now, not in the UK. Yeah, so that's my mistake. I apologize. That's a significant difference.
In climate, personality, and everything.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
I'm still wetting if you speak now.
Just from an accent perspective, I love the South African accent, first of all. But do you ever get mistaken as South African or Australian? Just because I've heard other, like, it's sort of a lot it's of a individuals who are horrible at understanding accents. They pick up different things. Do you get called that at all?
Yeah, if someone calls me Australian, I either have to walk away very quickly or I might do something. The Brits and the Aussies love each other and hate each other because of sport. So we can say that. Yeah. That's why I love whenever I meet an Aussie, I love calling them Kiwi because it really
it's fascinating. That's why I ask, because I always get that response too. Everyone has been called different things and they all don't like it.
Well, we get American all the time, right? Because the accents are so similar.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can call an English person is French, though. Just be careful on that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, good to know. I'll keep that in my back pocket. That's good. Yeah.
History runs deep.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you've got an 11-year-old boy that you co-parent. And I wanted to follow up on that because I think you kind of pointed out an interesting point when you are co-parenting. You've got them a week on, a week off. And to me, that almost seems like it's the best of both worlds because you have this peaceful week to recharge, but then you have a week where you can really put everything into it. And you get that one-on-one focus time with them. Am I totally off base or is that correct?
I think you're on the right path. I think okay. there is definitely lots of pros. Like I can spend quality time with my girlfriend and then the three of us can spend quality time. So, but obviously when it's not your week and there are things happening in his life that you're not part of,
right.
And that's really, really hurt. It's like, yeah, it's tough. And like you see, you go down, it's not your week, and you see your boy playing with your ex's partner and they're bonding and kicking all around and stuff. Right. And it's that little dagger in the heart. So yeah, there is definitely, you do get that one-on-one time and you do really ensure that the time that you have with him, you don't make any excuses. That's the thing I love is the week when it's me and my son, Seth, you know, the moment that excuse comes into your head about, I haven't got the energy or then you go straight away and Mark, this is your week. And every excuse goes out the window and you just make such an effort. And so, yeah, there's definitely a bit of benefit to both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly something out there for myself or our listener. It's like most things it's easy to take things for granted almost. Oh, yeah. Like I know if I get sick or, you know, you've sprained your wrist or some type of ailment and you're like, boy, once it heals your arm, you're like, I've never felt my arm so good. Like you just appreciate your arm so much more because, you know, you had it disabled or in some capacity sick or whatever. Right. And it's a something for all of us to, you know, just take solace to and that I appreciate
them. Yeah. And it's challenging to have that level of appreciation when you're around your kids all the time, right? You inevitably like, you see that week off and you're like, oh, that looks amazing.
When can you leave?
But yeah, but then, you know, they're gone for 2 days and you're sitting on the end of your bed weeping because you miss them so much.
So like a bourbon though, isn't it? That you never miss a bourbon. You're like, you've got that in your hand. You never put that one down. It has straight away.
Definitely.
Very good analogy.
You mentioned that you were able to take your passion and turn it into, or your hobby and turn it into a profession. And I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. Cause I think that's something that a lot of dads would love to be able to do. And they feel trapped in what they're doing right now. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, my background has been mixed between coaching sport to quite a high level. I've been very fortunate to coach at World Cups, Commonwealth Games. I've coached at that level. And sort of taking that thinking around how do we grow things and spend the right strategy and doing the right thing. And looking at what I'm so passionate about, which is the outdoors. And going, well, there's lots of things happen in the outdoors. Both there are lots of outdoor businesses and they are serving such a great purpose. So anything I can do using sort of my experience to help those outdoor businesses grow, I want to pass on that knowledge. And the second thing is there are a group of people out there who wish they could earn money. So they go for the weekend, they go on a hike or they go on a kayak and they go, if only I could do this as a job. And we've created a way of working with these people to actually build a really, really successful outdoor business that earns really good money. So it's sort of taking the passion that you've got and really stopping to think. And I think all dads can do this is going, what am I really passionate about? And are there any other people out there who would benefit from my knowledge? And how can I create a solution for them that makes them the hero of the story? And I think that's where sort of going digressing into businesses. I think a lot of businesses go wrong where they try and make themselves. And this is what you do really well is you don't make yourself the hero of your podcast. What you do is you make the dad the hero of the podcast. And that's what makes your listeners come back time and time again, because they feel that every time you're doing a podcast, they're the hero. So that's what I've done in my passion, is to try and make as many people the hero of the outdoors.
Just with relating to passion and projects, I know I've heard, I've spoken to other people who have turned some of their passion projects into jobs, et cetera. How do you balance between, I guess, keeping the passion overall? Because I've heard a lot of other people where once it becomes more of a job, then it becomes just that. And people overall just dread jobs and having to do things.
I think a lot of it is where you attach your ego. So
yeah,
a lot of people attach their ego to a job title or a salary or the business per se. So their passion becomes the business and their ego is the business. What I really advocate is attaching your ego to the lifestyle that your business or your passion gives you, because then you actually remember why you do something. So for me, my ego is not attached to the money that We Get Outdoors makes. My ego is attached to the fact that next weekend I'm doing a 3-day patrol hike in a Big Five game reserve where I'm going to learn how to track lions, how to stuff. 2 weeks later, I'm doing another hike up to 3,500 meters. And that, for me, the fact that my business allows me to do that, that keeps the passion going in the business. So for me, it's attaching my ego to my lifestyle, not my ego to the business.
That's fantastic.
It's a lot easier too when there's a lion, you know, 100 meters away from you too. They keep that passion. It certainly spices things up a little bit.
There's something else that happens when there's a lion. It's probably not for a PG audience.
We are not a PG audience, so you don't have to worry about that. I love that idea of attaching your ego to something other than title and monetary reward and that sort of thing. I think a lot of dads get caught up in the ego of you know, having the perfect family as well, and having to curate how they showcase themselves and how they relate with their family to the public world. And that's one of the biggest challenges dads face from emotions and psychological perspective, is they get tied up with that idea of being perfect, being the perfect father, right? Which is a big part of the reason that we started The Flawed Dad, was this is one of Graham and I's passions.
And so we already hate it.
Yeah.
So thank you for telling us to bring us back.
Yeah.
That's so, the end of the interview,
Doug. Yeah. So one of the things that you had mentioned before we got started was the idea of 4 fears of parenting in relation to the outdoors. And I'm a big outdoorsman. I'm wearing my Leatherman hat. I'm ex-fishing guide, that sort of thing. So try and get out with the kids as much as possible. So I love your message, and I'd really like it if you'd share it.
Yeah, cool. I think I had a bit of an epiphany around, and it was in the outdoors when I had my epiphany. I was on the beach with my boy, and we were just chucking a ball around. And he goes to me and he goes, "Dad, what time is it?" And I go, I didn't have a watch on. And I go, "I have no idea." And then he goes, "Well, why didn't you check your phone?" And I was like, "Boy, I haven't brought my phone. This is just you and me time." And there was this tear that went down his cheek that he realized that he had his dad 100% and no one could get in touch that time. And I went home after that and I really thought about the 4 fears of parenting that I have. And they sort of all come out of that moment of clarity. And in no particular order, the first fear I have is a loss of community and what that means for parents. So I used to live in a complex with my boy, and I didn't know the rest of the people. And I'm ashamed to say, I made no effort to go and really get to know other people. And I think that's something that my son, I hate it. He plays a lot of Fortnite. He's a bit too much screen time, and they think that's a community, but it's not. So the loss of community is something I'm really worried about. And the outdoors, you can be successful. There's a lot of people who go out in the outdoors and are really, really successful and thrive. But my gosh, it's so much easier when you've got a community around you, you know, when you've got people to share. So community is what the outdoors is all about. And I think it's something that us as dads have to remind our kids how to be part of a community and really form a community.
What makes the online world not to be a community, in your opinion?
I don't think it forms real relationships. I think they have very, very different conversations, which are very much here and now conversations. Why didn't you shoot this? Why didn't you do this? And I think a community is all about conflict resolution. It's all about leveraging on expertise. I think there's so much more to a community. It's about understanding that each one in the community plays a specific role, and tie that to the outdoors. Some of us are going to be better at hunting. Yeah. Some of us are better at gathering. Some of us are better at lighting fires. Some of us are better at building shelters. And it's understanding in a community, how do you bring that expertise together for the benefit of the whole? And I don't believe that when I listen to my son interacting on online, I don't believe they are learning these types of conversations, how to understand expertise, how to leverage on expertise as much as they would do in a outdoor environment.
Do you think the online thing kind of creates an atmosphere where you have to be the best at everything? You can't rely on others to do things. You have, you know, there's an ego aspect to it that doesn't exist when you are a community outdoors.
Yeah, I think so. I think the ego drives in. I think the win at all costs. And I think it sort of ties into my second fear, which is that of instant gratification. It was just the peaks of success. And my son, literally, he comes out of his room crying sometimes when something happens, or the internet, he keeps talking about ping, which I had to work out what ping meant recently. But he goes, I can't cope. The ping's gone over 300. And he's literally having a temper tantrum over ping going over 300. I'm like, you're shouting to an object that's innate. It can't do anything. It can't talk back to you. So I think that whole thing about instant gratification and communities, the other thing about communities is it's very, very rare that a community forms like instantly. It takes time. Like your relationship, the way that you're able to do the podcast isn't because you met 5 minutes ago and now you're just doing the podcast. It's because you've built a relationship up.
Yeah.
And I think things take time. And kids these days they get bombarded all the time by this picture or this event. And they think that all that happened is that person woke up, or that person who suddenly made like $1 million. They don't realize it's taken 7 years of slogging of 18-hour days in order to get that. So, and that's, again, going back to the outdoors, like the biggest skill you can develop in the outdoors is we know the mastery is born by one thing, which is patience. Right? And that's, again, I'm sure your kids are the same, but patience is not something that my 11-year-old boy is full of.
It's not something I was gifted with either, but being outdoors, you kind of learn it. When you fish, you have to have patience, right?
Exactly. So when I was growing up, I spent hours just kicking a football against the wall. Mm-hmm. That's what you do as a kid. Whereas he can't do anything on his own. He wants me to come and play with him. It's like, no, you've got to learn to be patient, to be bored. You've got to practice to get better. So I think that does tie into the online world as well a little bit. So bringing the two together.
Yeah.
Speaking of boredom, how do you, what do you feel about boredom overall? I mean, as you touched on sort of the outdoors, it might give you a bit of sense of that, but I don't want to lead you more with that question, but just your thoughts on that.
I think boredom is one of the greatest gifts a dad can give their kid. I think, and I go back to one of the biggest regrets I've had talking about your alcohol collection was, you know, we all have, I'm sure you've had this, that it was the greatest drink that you never had. Have you got those memories where if only I'd have done something, it'd have been. So I have one driving through Africa and I was driving up this beautiful pass. And in Africa, and it's for certain places in Africa, you don't want to drive after dark just because it's not the safest thing. It's just not very safe. So
yeah,
I came up this beautiful mountain pass, and at the top of this mountain pass was this pub. And I looked at this pub and I looked at my clock and I knew if I sat there, it would be the best pint I've ever had in my life. But I drove straight past it because I was in a rush to get to the destination. And that happened in 2003. And I can still picture it and I can still feel the regret about not having it. And I think that's what we need to teach our kids. We need to teach our kids that it's not always about the destination that you're going to. You've got to enjoy the journey, and the journey sometimes might be boring, but there are certain things that you can do. And in the outdoors, like especially when people come to Africa, they want to see the lions. They want to see the big five. Yeah. But when I go into the bush, I get as much excitement about seeing a trapdoor spider which creates this tiny little hole in the ground. It puts this little flap over the top. I love seeing a trapdoor spider as much as I see a lion. But you've got to be patient and you've got to be sitting and actually observing in order to see the small things. I don't think kids, and it goes back to attention and detail. Like, I don't think kids are, because they're always in a rush to do something. They're not happy to actually spend a bit of time, be bored. So yeah, my son, he's not very good at it. It's a work in progress, but I must admit, tying him to a bed and getting him to stare at the ceiling always helps.
We'll clip that for sure.
Yeah,
that's a solution.
It's a unique solution.
Unique parenting
problem.
Style. Yeah, only.
I've got some more crazy parenting styles. When I was working in London, my boss at the time was quite eccentric, and he wanted to do a test on the effect of electric shock therapy on newborn kids.
Okay.
Which is a new one. So what you want?
I'm sure he got lots of funding.
He asked me if I could donate my son, who was 6 months old at the time, to this experiment. No.
I'm sure you have lots of people lining up for this, so I'll just pass.
Yeah. I love what you were just saying in terms of the result being the driver of pretty much everything right now, and people wanting to get to the result so fast. And I think that's one of the things about the outdoors that is so enjoyable, is that the journey is just a sequence of small results. And so you can get that reward, almost like the gamification of everything that we've created in our lives now, is you get that with every step when you're doing something outdoors, whether it's, you know, views on the way on a hike or, you know, seeing a trapdoor spider, or, you know, even just the process of casting, if you're fly fishing and seeing fish rise. And there's so many little things that create all those exceptional little moments. And I agree. I think we do need to be spending more time outdoors. So that was, so instant gratification was number two. What's number three in terms of the fears?
So number three, again, sort of ties into parenting in the outdoors, which is I'm really worried about the impact of certain internet, which allows you not to think about what kind of questions you're forming. So if you think how we grew up a lot through trial and error. Mm-hmm. We'd go out there, we would test something, it would work, it wouldn't work, and we'd learn through trial and error. What happens now is my son has something in his head that he's not quite sure about. He puts a few words into Google, and Google tells him what question he should have asked in order to get the answer. And I'm really worried that our inability to teach our kids how to actually form the right question is going to slow things down. So when I pick my son up from school, like, I don't ask him, how was your day? Every time I ask him, what was the best question that you asked today? And it could be in any form. It could be in teacher. It could be in his playground. But just to get him to think about what is the best question that you asked today. Because I just believe that by learning how to ask the right question, you're going to learn the quote that my son learned. So I taught this quote to my son when he was five, and he knows it verbatim. That's a quote by the Dalai Lama, which is, if you speak, you repeat what you already know. If you listen, you might learn something new. So by getting him to ask the right question, he's going to learn. He's going to start thinking. That's where the outdoors is. Like, the great thing about the outdoors is it doesn't make a difference if you're whatever race you are, whatever, how much money you have in the bank. When you're in the outdoors, if it rains on you, it rains on me. It doesn't make a difference if I'm better in the outdoors or worse. We're both having the same experience. But it's about the question you're going to ask now to solve the problem that you're facing. I'm getting wet. Like, what do I do now? And I think that's something really important for dads to really keep thinking about, is what questions are you encouraging your kids to answer and helping them solve the answer or the question, not always giving them the answer.
Right.
And so how would you go about doing that?
In terms of the outdoors or in general?
In general, just about asking questions. For the fathers out there who don't necessarily have the opportunity to go outdoors as often, just in everyday life, how would you start to practice that art of asking and teaching to ask the right questions, et cetera?
So again, it's using the right starting thing. So we get so easy as parents asking questions that end in yes or no's. So we go, did you have a good day at school today? Well, any kid is either going to answer yes or no. So the straightaway I do with my son is starting to get him to understand that how you phrase a question will elicit a short response or a long response. So what was the highlight of your day today gives him three or four words that he's going to use. It was the break where I got to play soccer. And then actually teaching him what the next question would be to get a little bit more information. So to teach him the concept of probing. Mm-hmm. What was it about the break that made it so much fun for you? I did this and this and this and this. Okay. Why did that make you feel like you did? So it's understanding and teaching him that, like, questioning and that, and being a parent for me is just like a funnel. You start off with the most broad question you can think of, and then you ask a little bit and a question that sort of takes you down to the funnel to get them to understand the feelings that they're feeling, and then reverse engineering it. Like, so his name's Seth. Seth, is there a question you want to ask me today? Yes, Daddy. How was your day? How was your day at work? It was fine. And then if he doesn't ask another question, it was like, is there anything more you want to know about what happened at my work today?
Right. So you're prompting those additional questions by practicing the probing technique.
That's interesting too. Yeah. And reversing it on them about, like, son, your weak questioning here. Do you want to ask something more to be able to have a conversation?
it's interesting, isn't it? Because we get into this debate in our heads all the time to say, should we as parents and should we as dads only communicate at the level that a 10 or 11, however old your kid is. So do we communicate them? And it's always playing that balance in my head is, how do I get the balance right between doing what I need to do today to support Seth's development today, but also probing and guiding and directing him for the next stage of his life, the next stage of his life. And I'm sure you feel the same thing. It's always like that juggling act of, how hard do you balance the practical part of being a dad, like we're talking about now, which is the questioning and teaching him how to question, versus the emotional part of being a dad, and especially with how our roles of dads have changed so much. You know, we're not expected just to put a roof over their head and put food on their table. And I don't know about you, but I was never taught how to be a dad by my dad. My dad literally, he left work at 5:36. Got home at 7:30, and that was my dad from Monday to Friday.
Right. Yeah. So in relation to the probing questions and learning to ask questions and spending time outdoors, can you give me an example of how being in the outdoors helps to elicit those types of better questioning and the process of probing, that sort of thing?
So let's use the example of it's raining.
Yeah.
I'm with my son. I'm going, Seth, we're getting wet. What should we do about it? Okay, Daddy, well, in order to us stop getting wet, we need to have some kind of shelter. Jeepers, boy, that's a really, really good idea. So what have we got around us that's going to keep the rain off our heads? Well, we've got this tree here, or in our bag, we've got a tarp. Jeepers, okay, so what do you think is going to be better to keep the rain out, a tarp or some branches? Well, Daddy, the branches have got some holes in it, so the rain still might get through. So I think the tarp's going to be better. Boy, that is such a cool idea. Okay, so now we've got the tarp out on the floor. What do we need to do to get underneath it? Well, Daddy, we could just crawl underneath it. Jeepers, boy, that's a really cool idea. But where's the water going to go? It goes, oh no, the water's going to come up from the ground. So what's going to happen? Oh, bum's going to get wet. Okay, so what are we going to do now? Well, if we lift the tarp off the ground, then we're going to have space to put something else on the ground that's going to keep our bum dry. Oh boy, it's sort of asking those questions just to really to get him to problem solve in his head. And I'm leading his problem solving. So Every time he comes up with a solution, I'm going, that's such a cool idea. What can we do next? What can we do next? And then through that, I've then taught him how to do the knots. So now we can tie the tarp to the tree trunk with the right kind of knot. And it's, okay, Seth, if a wind comes, is this knot going to come undone? Yeah, it is. So should we do a second? Yeah, let's do a second knot. So it's always using... And again, you don't have to have lots of expertise in the outdoors to do this. You just have to have a little bit of common sense. So that's a really cool way that my boy and I will do it. And there's times when I'm just going to sit back and go, right, boy, where should we put the tent up tonight?
Yeah.
And I'm going to let him fail. You know, so I'm going to let him put a tent up where, I don't know, he hasn't cleared the ground. So not when before you put a tent up, you want to clear the ground before, because obviously you don't want to find rocks and stuff like that. So if he forgets to do it, I'll see where he's put the rocks and I'll put my sleeping bag on the good side and I'm going to let him sleep on the rocks for a little bit. So he gets to experience it. And again, it ties into that patience and the boredom stuff. It's like, why are you uncomfortable? I've got rocks. So what could have we done to avoid having rocks? Oh, I forgot to clear under the tent, didn't I? Yeah, so right, should we just do it now quickly? Yeah, let's do it now quickly. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of stuff that just gets him. And then next time he's never going to forget because he knows he lay on rocks and it was uncomfortable.
So you're talking about the opposite of helicopter parenting. You allow him to make mistakes and to figure things out for himself, problem solve, create ingenuity, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it's how I learned. You know, it's and I think we're in a different society at the moment where when I was growing up, I finished school, I went outside on my own, I ran around for 2-3 hours with my mates, getting up to loads of trouble playing football on the park. And then my mum would open the door, she would shout out, "Mark, your food's ready," and I'd come in.
Yeah.
Right. And that's how I learned. And I learned how to climb trees, I learned how to fall out of trees and not break bones. You know, that's how I learned stuff. And
yeah, you learn how to fall properly. Yeah. Because you don't stop falling. You just fall farther.
I remember my dad when I was learning to ski, side note a little bit, but just about that. I remember he would say, you need to fall at least X amount of times. So when I was first learning, it was, you need to fall like 100 times. Right, because I was falling all the time. But the point was that you need to be able to keep making mistakes in order to get better. And then as I got better, it's like, well, have you fallen at least 3 times a day? Because if you haven't, then you're not pushing yourself enough. And you got to keep going. You got to keep going. And it's a very interesting message that I remember. Like, this is, I mean, however long ago, we're talking probably 30 years ago or so now. And I still remember that lesson. I'm sure he'll forget. He had no idea that he was saying it. But it's those messages that stick with you as well.
It is amazing the things that we pick up as parents from our own parents that they likely never realized, or we likely never realized, that we're actually teaching our kids. It's just something that seems like it's a practical piece of information to pass on at the time, but it has a profound impact on our kids forever. And I'm thinking that outdoor experience, because as you mentioned earlier, you know, you're giving all of yourself to your child at the time, it gives an incredible opportunity for more of those profound experiences than you would if you were, you know, on technology separately inside of the house.
Yeah, I think there's something beautiful about using your hands. There's something beautiful about getting dirt under your nails. And that's what we've built for dads is we've built a program that allows a dad and their kid to get together in their backyard and just build something together. And I think that's how you build memories. Now, if you look at that memories you were just described, they're all about things that you're doing together. Have you fallen enough? And we can picture our dad saying that to us, or you can picture your dad at the top of the ski slope having those conversations. And I think that's the great thing about the outdoors is there's no distractions. It's you leave your phone at home, you take a map and a compass, and it's literally you and your child. And it's about asking your kid. There's a great poem called by David White called Lost, which is about it's just fascinating about you're never lost in the forest if you can act, because no two trees are the same. That's basically the poem's all about no two. So if you know what to look for, you actually know which tree you've walked past 3 or 4 times, you never lost.
Yeah.
That's the important thing about being a dad.
So we've gotten through 3 of your fears. What's your fourth one?
So the fourth one is the widening gap between education and the real world.
Yeah.
I look at, and it sort of all ties everything together. When I recruit and people start working for millennials, after they've done one piece of work, they want to get a pay rise or a promotion. I'm like, you've been in the job for 3 months. You've done one piece of good work. You're not getting a promotion, my friend. But again, I think it's that what we're taught at school. And I know when I'm old now, but so I left school in 97. And what I learned at school was the discipline was working in a social environment. And I think we don't put enough emphasis on that part of education. We put too much emphasis on certain things and certain styles of teaching that are just, in my opinion, slightly antiquated. And I think that's where the outdoors reminds us of something that's been there for millennia. Like the outdoors is a concept, Bushman, it's what, 200,000-300,000 years ago. And the skills that we're applying there, we're still using in survival mechanisms now. But if I look at the skills that I was taught at school, cheapers, I probably use 1% of those skills. And I just think that the outdoors has a role to play to bridge the gap between education and the real world.
Yeah.
And problem solving, real world problem solving to me, I think is, there's so many unpredictable things that occur in the real world or in outdoors, et cetera, elements, whatever. I'm sure you can name a million different things that have come up with you. And that, at least to me, us likely overall, is the real thing that you want to get back. And sort of what you're talking about, asking the right questions, et cetera, is that whole problem solving, getting the skills and the behaviors to be able to handle adversity and being able to do something.
And we all know, like, it took me how long? It took me 3 months, I think, to get my son to make his bed in the morning. You know, just constantly. And it'd been so easier for me to, every time you forget it, just to make his bed for him. You know, it's so much easier to go, have you made your bed? And I'll do it for you. No, but again, we've got to stick to the morals and the values of problem solving in the real world. It's like you stick to it. And now it's second nature to him. He wakes up, he makes his bed, does his own packed lunch in the morning. It's not because I'm a single dad, you know, so we've got to be a team together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, for me, the same in the outdoors. It's like when we go in the outdoors, like, he's 11, so he can't carry a 20, 25 kilo backpack like
right.
I can.
Yeah.
But he's got to carry something, you know, he's got to carry his own sleeping bag, and he has to carry some of his own water. Like, I'll carry everything else. I'll carry the tent, the food, everything. But he's got to take a little bit because he's got to contribute. You know, otherwise, what are we teaching our kids? Teaching our kids that when dad's not around and something fails, then what are you going to do? You're going to pick up the phone and go, dad, like, I had someone who worked for me. She was 20, 22 or 23. I gave her, she screwed up at work, and I told her she screwed up. Guess what happened the next day?
She quit.
I got a phone call from her father.
Oh, man, really? Oh, wow.
Dad phoned me. Like, seriously, who is this? Yeah, I was like, oh, my goodness. So that person didn't last long. But again, I think that's what, for me, it doesn't make sense. A father phoned me to tell me off for telling his 22-year-old daughter off for failing at work.
We have to go into this more. The conversation, did you just rip into the dad a little bit? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure how I'd react, but I would probably start laughing and say, is this a joke? And like, you can't possibly be serious. Like, and actually try and, I don't know. What did you do there?
Yeah, you can't have a rational conversation with that. I think being British, I did turn around and say to the father, let me guess, your mum put you up to this, didn't you? And I think that shut him up quite quickly. He's a mummy's boy at 45.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine getting that phone call. I respect, have tears in my eyes.
I respect at the same time the balls of the father to think about that. I'm going to call, like, I don't know, that you are living in the clouds or have just a massive confidence or something or other to, I mean, like, we would never, ever consider that, in the possibility of actually calling an employer and figuring that this is going to work out. Okay. Yeah. This makes total sense.
How is this going to end for you?
Yeah.
I have three employees in their 20s, and I cannot imagine one of their dads calling me because they're upset that I reprimanded them at work. Yeah. That just blows my mind. Anyways, let's get back.
It's logical consequences is a lot of the things that what you just talked about, the rocks and everything else. It's teaching and allowing the logical consequences to occur of something or other, right? Oh, you didn't clear the stones. Therefore, here's a lot. It's not the end of the world, right? You're not going to get harmed in really way. You might have a sore back, et cetera. But these are the consequences. Oh, you forgot to pack your lunch for school. Well, there's no lunch to be had today, right? Logical consequence, right? That's not on me.
Yeah, there'd be food for you when get home.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
I think it's important.
I want to ask the tough question, the one that's a little not confrontational, but is maybe create a bit of reaction from people. Do you think
British, eh? We've got six.
Do you think the dads who spend time in the outdoors with their kids are learning and being better dads than those that don't?
I don't think there is something as a better dad or a worse dad, because I think everyone's situation and scenario is different. I think a dad who is making choices because financially he has to go away to work to provide for their child for that period of time, that's all that he can offer his kid at the moment.
But given the opportunity, I'm gonna pull some of the politically correct stuff out of this and say, if you have the opportunity, you know, to take your kids outdoors, do you think that you are providing them with an advantage by doing it?
I think the outdoors provides a great playground to teach your kids some of the most important life lessons that they will ever learn. So
you're good at this. You're good at this.
Future work in the politics as well. Is that one of your passions? Yes.
I've done my media training. Yeah. the outdoors, I think I could probably name two or three environments which would be phenomenal for a dad to bring a kid. And for me, the outdoors is right at the top there, because the thing about the outdoors is you need to prepare in order to go the outdoors. And I like when I'm talking to dads who've never taken their kids outdoors, like the first piece of advice I say to them is, don't go right to the deep end. If you want to take them camping, take them 20 minutes away from your front door. Yeah. You know, don't go far away, because if you get there and they hate it and it chucks it down to the rain, you're not prepared. You chuck everything in the back of your car and you're home in 20 minutes. You're safe. So there's so many things that can go wrong, but there's so many opportunities to problem solve in the outdoors. And if you don't build your shelter right and it rains, guess what? You're going to get wet. So build your shelter right the first time and you're not going to get wet. So politically correct answer is yes.
Fantastic. So where can people find you? And I know that your business is associated with helping people to convert their hobby / passion into a profession. So how can people get in touch with you in order to do this?
Yeah, so what we've just done is we've launched something called the Dads and Kids Yard Adventure Pack, which is 11 outdoor activities that you can do with your kids in your backyard, local park, or even on a balcony in any climate with no experience. So if you want to build a rocket stove with your kid and make a bacon sandwich, we teach you how to do it. If you want to build a shelter, if you want to make a mallet so you can start building a campsite. So really cool. So that's on superherodads.weekoutdoors.co. And that's just something that we really want to give back to dads. We want to give dads the opportunity to go and spend quality time with their kids in the outdoors and learn some really cool skills. Like my business partner's got a 5-year-old daughter. She does all the chopping for all the salads. She makes fires. So everyone thinks as a dad or as a parent, you can't let your kid touch a knife. Rubbish. My kid plays with the knives. I've just taught him how to use it safely.
Yeah.
So 11 cool activities that you can do with your kids over the weekend. So instead of taking them to the movies on healthy or shopping malls or putting them in front of screen time, go and spend 60 to 90 minutes every weekend doing something really cool in your own backyard.
That's amazing. We will make sure that the link to that is in the show notes for the podcast so that you can, all our listeners can find that, because I think that's an amazing idea. I look forward to taking a look at it and getting some ideas for myself with my kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm certainly inspired from this. It's a great aspect that, you know, I think a lot of times as well, we get into the routine of things a little bit, right? Like you're sort of used to it and you just need a little bit of a shakeup, different perspectives, different opinions, et cetera, to realize, oh yeah, right. We should be doing this a little bit and balance of everything. Right, not going overboard in any one thing. Moderation type stuff is always important.
Yeah, I think we spend too much time as dads thinking about balancing. Now I look at balance as just I never try and balance, because balance for me is like being on a seesaw. You know, when you're on a seesaw and then someone jumps off and you're stuck at the bottom and you get bored after a while. So what you do is you stand in the middle of the seesaw to try and balance it horizontally. But you know, one little move left or right and the whole thing collapses. So for me, there's five things that I try and talk to my son about all the time. One is, well, I want to make sure that I can afford to give Seth what it is that I want to give him. I want to ensure that I'm as healthy and physically in the right shape that I can play with him. I want to ensure that I'm spending the right time with Mark, that I'm happy in myself so I can be the best dad. I want to ensure that I'm contributing to communities and that I've got a good relationship with time. So for me as a dad, I'm always trying to think about how can I integrate these five relationships of life to be the best dad that I can be. That's the thing that I wake up every morning thinking.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. That's fantastic. So we'll close it out there. Thank you again so much for joining us. This was great conversation. I appreciate you allowing me to push you into non-politically correct commentary. Some great points. I hope that everybody can take away those four fears and be able to act on making sure that they don't become a reality for our kids, forming a community, staying away from instant gratification, having better education systems. And the third one was asking better questions. I think those are fantastic and things that we need to watch out for. So please make sure that you go and check out the link for the 11 outdoor activities for Mark and We Get Outdoors. Leave a review for the podcast. If you like this episode, if you've got any comments, go check us out at flaweddad.com or flaweddadpodcast on Instagram. And you can check out We Get Outdoors on Instagram as well. And they're in wegetoutdoors.co for the website.
And they have a YouTube channel as well.
And a YouTube channel where you interview some amazing people.
Yeah.
There's some cool people on there. Some really interesting people. Like guys who've climbed up mountains with no legs. Just get your head around that. Like,
it's amazing.
Kilimanjaro and Everest with no legs. It's just insane.
Yeah. So thank you so much again. And we look forward to chatting with you again in the future.
Awesome. Thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.